listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Great flood is coming. The waters of the heavens will meet the waters of the earth. We build an ark.
Noah doesn't say anything until he speaks of the ark. None of the women are really spoken about in the biblical story. He had to adapt it. He had to adapt it for the screen.
Fine, contraceptives, buy them if you want to. But if your contraceptives cause abortions, don't make me pay for them.
All the time you try to clothe yourself with your deeds, but they're filthy rags. But there is one who will clothe you in garments of salvation and robes of righteousness, which is where this motif goes, of course, through Christ.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steel worker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues, Etc. all day long.
You know, the story of the Health and Human Services mandate is one that just continues to spawn more and more news. And one of the biggest news pieces that it spawned lately is actually a court case, the Hobby Lobby case, that requires very little explanation except to say there's a Christian employer, in fact, a number of Christian employers, who simply want to be able to run their business according to their conscience, dictated by their religious beliefs. And there's nothing wrong with that. They just simply want to run their business as Christians, in their case, run their business. How has the media done the background on this case, in particular the founder and the CEO of Hobby Lobby, David Green? Have they been fair with him, his story, and his ideas? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Bobby Ross Jr. of GetReligion.org will be our guest for the first few minutes here. We're going to talk about the media coverage of the legal challenges to Health and Human Services mandate and also the man who is a plaintiff in the case, David Green of Hobby Lobby, how the media are telling his particular side of the story. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker will join us, as he does every week. He is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll be talking about Jesus raising Lazarus in John chapter 11. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Bobby Ross Jr. is a regular guest. He's an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me.
With a couple days out here from the oral arguments, how would you evaluate the media coverage of both the case in general, the people who were involved in it, and the oral arguments?
Well, as usual, I think it's all over the map. There's been some, you know, quite a bit of really good coverage where they've just reported the facts, reported what the justices said, how they reacted to the argument, and pretty fairly kind of put the, you know, evaluated the case. And, you know, then there's been other media reports where they, you know, the reporting seems to be tilted one way or the other. You know, there have been a few reports, you know, where that kind of don't really explain what the case is about, using what we've talked about on Get Religion as narrow contraception only language, and not really getting into some of the more specifics about, you know, concerns about morning after pills and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's just kind of all over the place.
You kind of looked at the lead up to this right before the oral arguments were heard by the Supreme Court. Tell us what you found there in how the various major outlets, USA Today, New York Times, et cetera, Los Angeles Times, how they kind of anticipated the oral arguments.
Well, I guess, you know, the Los Angeles Times kind of, you know, their story previewing it, you know, called it, you know, potentially one of the most significant religious freedom cases in the high court's history. USA Today, which is, you know, usually a little more flashier, and kind of, you know, said it's a case full of hot button issues, and they mentioned religious freedom, corporate rights, federal regulation, abortion, and contraception. And then they said, put another way, it's a case about God, money, power, sex, and Obamacare. So they kind of did it like that. The New York Times was a little less flashy. They said it's, you know, a case pitting religious liberty against women's rights. I guess the women's rights being someone who would work for a company like Hobby Lobby, should they be able to expect the company to pay, you know, health insurance that provides the kind of contraception that Hobby Lobby is opposing? You know, and then some of the more interesting stories leading up to it, you know, the Wall Street Journal had a front page story datelined Oklahoma City, which is where I'm at, and kind of which interested me, kind of highlighting the Green family, which own, you know, the billionaire family that owns Hobby Lobby, and kind of putting a face on them and their faith and how that plays into that. And I thought, you know, the Wall Street Journal had a good story, and about a week earlier than that, even the Religion News Service had a nice profile on Steve Green, the son of David Green, the Hobby Lobby founder, and kind of going into the, you know, just what makes him tick and where faith plays in his life.
So go into some more detail on that profile of Green, one of the primary litigants here, plaintiffs here. What was it that you think did the trick when it comes to just good, balanced reporting of the religion angle on this guy and his life and this case?
Well, I thought it just put a human, you know, a real human face on him, and it didn't rely on cliches or the kind of, you know, quick talking points that, you know, that a lot of times you'll read a news story, you know, it's kind of, we boil it down to, you know, conservatives and liberals and, you know, use a lot of legalese and that kind of thing. And this kind of used, I'm trying to think, you know, specific examples from his life, like where he'd found himself in a trying situation and his faith had delivered him from it. Or, you know, one example they gave was him quoting from the book of Daniel and talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if I'm saying those names right, you know, where they would rather face a fiery furnace than bow to an idol at the command of King Nebuchadnezzar. And to RNS's credit, they allowed Green to say they told the king, our God is able to deliver us, and kind of, you know, basically, you know, I guess I enjoyed the fact that, you know, he was using religious language and speaking in terms of how the Bible informs his faith, and they were willing to kind of step back and let him use that kind of language when a lot of times I think reporters are scared off by that. And, you know, probably RNS is, being that it is a religion news service, is more apt than others to, you know, to let those kind of things get into print. But, you know, even they, I think, sometimes kind of skirt into, you know, to the side of, you know, everything's newsy and talking points. And, you know the way this story was written, it just sounded real. And they, you know, even the legal descriptions that they used kind of describing the contraceptions involved and the issues involved were put in terms where ordinary people could read it and understand it, where you didn't have to be a lawyer to figure out what they were saying.
To me, that seems kind of the twofold thing. They want to be able to accurately describe the legal parameters of this case, but also accurately describe it from Green's perspective, what he thinks this is about. Did they hit both of those notes?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, in some ways, you know, which is kind of odd for Get Religion, because, you know, we tend to, a lot of the stories we find, we tend to be kind of finding traditional religious believers or people on the right that are not represented or not handled fairly. And, you know, about the only criticism I had of this story is that they didn't have anybody on the other side who, you know, perhaps somebody who knows and likes this guy and could say, you know, he's, you know, you know, I appreciate his religious conviction. I know where he's coming from, but I just happen to disagree with him on the constitutional and religious issues here. And they didn't have, you know, that kind of person on the left, or the, you know, at least the left of Green quoted in the story. So that was, you know, ironically, that was the criticism that I made of the piece.
Now, you also have a criticism also in just in terms of kind of plain old editing, where at one point in the profile, it was unclear as to whether there was a quotation, I think, from the Book of Esther, a brief description of kind of the historical circumstances.
Oh, that's right.
There. And you say it's unclear to you as the reader whose idea is being represented.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, because, you know, it was along, you know, Green, it said something along the lines of he may be an ideal plaintiff for such a time as this. And, you know, those of us who are familiar with the Old Testament know that, you know, and the story mentions that that's coming from the the Book of Esther, and that believers often call on passage like that for courage when standing on their faith. But, you know, the story doesn't attribute that to him, so it's you can't tell whether Steve Green is the one who's putting forth this idea or whether the reporter just decided, you know, that it would fit in this context. And to me, you know, in a news story, you really need to know whether this is coming from Steve Green himself, because otherwise it sounds kind of opinionated to me, and I'm not sure that's what the reporter, the writer, needs to be doing in a news story.
What stories do you think? I mean, can you think of any stories that need to be written yet at this point, between oral arguments and everybody waiting for the verdict on this particular subject? What kind of religion angle stories do you think need to be written?
You know, that's a real good question, and I'm not sure I have a real good answer. I think we're kind of at the point now where I haven't been able to read all the coverage that's out there. There's just so much out there. I guess, you know, the stories that would need to be written would be kind of, you know, based on what the justices said and how they reacted to the case. What are the potential outcomes? You know, what decisions could the court make? You know, as far as broad decisions or even, you know, much more narrowly defined decisions, and then what would be the ramifications of those on Obamacare and on religious freedom.
And have you seen much coverage of the other plaintiff, Green and his wife, and the name Hobby Lobby has kind of become the shorthand for the plaintiffs in this case, but there's also a Mennonite-based furniture company, Conestoga Woods, I believe is what it's called.
Right.
Have you seen any coverage of that? That kind of is a little less mainstream religion there.
No, I haven't seen a lot of coverage of that. And Terry Mattingly, our editor at Get Religion, had actually written a post where he kind of wondered about that himself, and it kind of raised the question, saying, you know, maybe Mennonites' fight for free exercise of religion isn't as culture wars friendly as a storyline about a giant, rich, conservative, evangelical company doing that. I think it was the New York Times even that had kind of a summary of the case and the plaintiffs, and they mentioned Hobby Lobby and said it's a Christian family fighting for blah blah blah, and then they described this other company as a Mennonite family fighting for blah blah blah, and somebody said, wait a minute, aren't Mennonites Christians? I don't know if there's some confusion there, or you know, I think part of it is that the Greens, the dad I think is Pentecostal, and the son is Southern Baptist, so they kind of combine that into Christian, but at the same time, I think you're on to something as far as maybe the Mennonites maybe being less mainstream or less easy to understand, and maybe that's, you know, and it's a much smaller company, whereas Hobby Lobby has 500-plus stores, so I would think all of that would play into why it's kind of become the Hobby Lobby case and not the Hobby Lobby slash the other company involved case.
Well, the angle I'm thinking of there that probably could you know, be at least a feature is to talk about the history of Mennonites in general. While they are a little outside the mainstream, seem a little anachronistic to the American religious public, they do have a long history of political activism, especially
right.
Anti-war protests, pacifism, things like that,
right.
That could probably be tied in here in terms of their political views or their political stance,
right.
Theologically.
You know, that would be a great story if it hasn't been written. I mean, somebody needs to write it if it hasn't been. But, you know, that's definitely something I'll look into after we talk and see if there's something out there like that or if that's something that we should write about and maybe even propose that somebody tackle.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker, as we do every week. We're going to spend that time in John chapter 11. This is the last thing that Jesus does, the big miracle that he does before his own death and resurrection occur. And this miracle is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. What is Jesus saying about himself? Is he purposefully doing something that will get him crucified? when he raises Lazarus? We'll answer those questions with Pastor Tom Baker right after this.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is God's purpose for marriage? How should we respond when traditional marriage is openly mocked as irrelevant? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Your Marriage by God's Design. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guests Scott and Julie Stiegemeyer. You can find out more about Your Marriage by God's Design at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Your Marriage by God's Design, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271. Or visit ChristRochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.